USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Joe Biden celebrating a very super Tuesday as the former VP won at least 9 states, including a surprise victory in the big delegate-rich state of Texas.
People are talking about a revolution. We started a movement. We've increased turnout. Yeah! The turnout's turned out for us.
The Democratic race for the White House now seemingly narrowing to Biden and Bernie Sanders. Sanders winning 3 states on Super Tuesday. He's likely to win Maine as well and is leading in the biggest state of California. Italy is shutting down all of its schools and universities for 2 weeks in an attempt to contain the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak. There have been about 80 deaths in that country, most located in the northern regions, and they've confirmed over 2,500 cases of the virus. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president in my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC, paid for and responsible for the content of this message, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. rootwall.com.
President Trump is planning to visit the tornado-ravaged Nashville, Tennessee area on Friday, tweeting that the U.S. stands with the people of Tennessee and will provide whatever they need. FEMA is reportedly on its way. Here's the Putnam County Mayor, Randy Porter.
We were told last night that they felt almost 100% that we would probably be declared as a disaster area when it comes through FEMA, but they are going to be on the ground today.
In what was the worst outbreak of tornadoes in Tennessee since 2011, at least 25 people were killed, and dozens more are unaccounted for. The Pentagon says U.S. forces have carried out an airstrike against the Taliban in southern Afghanistan, the first such attack since the two sides signed a peace deal on Saturday. A military official saying the strike was a defensive measure aimed at disrupting a Taliban attack that was being planned against Afghan security forces. This is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
U.S. companies are still hiring despite the coronavirus scare. The just-released ADP private payrolls report for February showing that employment, excluding government jobs, was up by about 183,000 last month. The report was better than analysts were expecting, though the January number was revised a bit downward to 209,000 jobs. Last month, smaller companies were leading the way when it came to creating jobs, with financial services adding the most jobs in February. The defense team for Joseph DeAngelo, the man suspected of being the Golden State Killer and the East Area Rapist, revealing their client has offered to plead guilty to avoid the death penalty. DeAngelo is accused of killing 13 people, raping more than 50 women, and burglarizing dozens of homes during a California crime spree that lasted through the 70s and 80s. The former cop was arrested in Citrus Heights in 2018 after DNA submitted to a public genealogy website linked him to cold cases. An estate panel is recommending Rod Blagojevich be disbarred. Blagojevich recently had a corruption sentence commuted by President Trump. Yesterday's ruling by the Illinois Attorney Registration and Disciplinary Commission coming a week after the three-member panel heard arguments over whether the former Democratic Illinois governor's law license should be revoked. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good afternoon. This is Larry McKenzie, and this is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. Give me a second here. I'm getting set up. Again, this is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service, where we do home inspections for buyers and sellers of properties, and we do them in teams, so we're doing a little quicker and a little faster. You can reach me at 973-547-7748. Or at lmcentee@hometeam.com. That's L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E at hometeam.com. Okay, today we're going to have a little bit of coverage in a sense. We're going to talk, first we'll talk about the weather as we usually do, and then we'll talk about a couple organizations, some nonprofits that I, and some businesses that I visited this weekend that are worthy of visiting. And then we're going to go over top 10 most problems with a home. This might save you some money. It also might help you make a better decision when you're looking at a house, because these are things that you should look at even before you make an offer and understand them so you can make a better offer, and also so you can not get dissuaded after you do that and spend time and money. So we'll do that. We're going to do the weather in a minute, but we got to do a couple commercials here. So we'll be right back with the weather, and then we'll get going. Thanks.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
All right, we're back. Again, this is Larry McKenzie with Home Team Inspection Service, and we're bringing you home again with Jeannie and Larry. My partner is Jeannie Murphy, the great realtor here in Hunterdon County, operating out of the Weichert office in Flemington. So if you have any needs on that, look up Jeannie Murphy. You will be happy that you did. Hey, let's talk about the weather. We have a great forecast here. I'm looking at today is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 56 and a low of 34. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny, 52 and a low of 33. I know it sounds cold, but you know, got to figure we're at the beginning of March and we have a mild winter so far. So I'm knocking on wood because I love doing an inspection at 50 degrees, guys. Friday, we have a chance of showers, 40% chance, but with a high of 48 with a low of 31. So basically the low temperatures the next couple of days are going to be around freezing. So just watch yourselves at dusk and at night when you get that black ice out there. And you've got some new drivers out there. Make sure you educate them on how to drive and that stuff, because it will change over very quickly. And when it's right at that borderline, you think it's wet and it's slippery. So be careful out there. But Saturday and Sunday, guys, high of 46 on Saturday, a high of 58 on Sunday, and brightly sunny with no chance of precipitation. So Saturday and Sunday are going to be bright sunny days. Good idea out there to get out there and look at your house and that thing, but this is unbelievable weather for the beginning of March, and let's knock wood, because all you have to do is watch the rest of the country and you can see the weather they're having. I mean, whether it's flooding in the south, God knows, I mean, in the heartland, they had tornadoes run through Nashville the other day, and then you got snowstorms up in Detroit and in Nebraska. And you got drought conditions out west. I think we're going to knock wood again, because we're having the best weather in the country, I think. And let's keep hope it going. Let's keep it going. We got another commercial. Then we're going to start off, and we'll get back, and we'll start talking about a couple things that happened this weekend with me. So thanks. Talk to you in a bit.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, it's Larry McKenzie again with Home Team back here. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about my weekend. I spent Sunday in the city going to a play, and if you've ever done that, it's a great thing. And one of the benefits of being here in northern Jersey is that you're, an hour and a half, hour from the city, and you can see some of the best Broadway plays in the world. But there's an organization called the TDF, and that's this Theater Development Fund. And that's an organization that actually is a nonprofit that runs, and it tries to open the world of theater up to individuals that maybe not get a chance to go. You can imagine the tickets, average ticket price is like $150 to see a Broadway play, and it puts it out of reach for a lot of people. And the Theater Development Fund makes an effort to get that to schools, get it to kids, reduce the prices of certain performances. And there's an initiative within the TDF that, and I got a chance to meet the director this weekend when I went to the see. We saw Harry Potter. And if you know how that goes, that's two plays. It's actually a full play at 1 o'clock. Well, it's different times. But the first play is there, and then it has a two-hour gap, and then there's a second play, another full two-and-a-half-hour play. So it's an ordeal for young kids. And but they have it. So we went to see that, but it was through the ATI, which is the Autism Theater Initiative. And this is the effort of the TDF to bring autism-friendly performances to families who have individuals with autism. As you guys know, and most of you that know me know that I have a son with autism, and it's difficult sometimes to take him to things that you would want to as a normal family. You know, it's some people say, well, he's entitled to everything. Yeah, he is, but it's hard to justify bringing him to see The Lion King and sit next to a family that paid $400 or $500 for tickets and have my son, make noises through the whole play and move around and distract people from the play. Somehow that I don't think that's fair to them, as much as it's not fair to Matthew to expect them to behave or to be able to tolerate that without moving around a little bit, because it's tough for him. So this is a performance that, the theater is full of people with autism and disabilities, and there are noises, and there are kids that repeat the lyrics or the cast members, and also the theater can be a little bit difficult for some people because it's stimulation for them, the strobe lights, the theater effects, the sound. This is one where there's plenty of volunteers around, there's decompression rooms set up so the kids can get out of their seat and go sit down if they need to take time out. At the same time, the whole family can go together. And I took my son, my daughter, my son with autism, Matthew, and his nephew, and because we could get six tickets, and my wife and I. And we went, and it was a challenge because, we had the 2.5 hours he did fine, and then we go to Tony DiNapoli's on 43rd Street, by the way. This is a restaurant that's so family-friendly. I sent them a note and when I made the reservation that I have a son with autism and I would like a certain table. We like a table, it's a circle table in the back corner. And we set a time to be there, and we were there, and guess what? They had that table set aside, even though it was a crush of Sunday evening. And they just handle it. I mean, organizations that do that, they don't know how much they've helped me and my family to do that, to be able to sit in a corner booth where Matthew could be pinned in and not overstimulated and not bothering somebody next to him. It's such a great relief, and I can't tell them that they do a service for their clients because Matthew's not bothering them, and they do a service for our family because we get to go out to dinner. And then Matthew went back in and sat for the second half of the play. I think Matthew was like me in a sense, though. We didn't follow Harry Potter. We're not Harry Potter fans. So Matthew and I could doze off a couple times during the play because it wasn't a musical. It was the first time we took him to a non-musical. Usually we're restricted to The Lion King, Wicked, even Kinky Boots, and the music keeps him engaged. But this is a little bit more complicated. And well, maybe Matt and I didn't appreciate the subject matter because I didn't read the books. But I think the other rest of the family loved it, and it was something we could do together. And I always tell people, I work to live, not live to work. And when I work hard so I can spend that time with my family and have those interests. So I wanted to bring those up today just to let you know that if you're looking for a nonprofit to support the theater, the TDF, the ATI, which is the Autism Theater Initiative, under the TDF, which is the Theater Development Fund in New York City, they do a tremendous job. And I can't thank them enough for continuing to do this. They've done 15 autism-friendly shows, and obviously the Disney shows are so well. Our guys love the Disney programs, but even opening up more dramatic plays to individuals, and it's a place where we can go and we're not judged, and we're also not affecting other people who rightfully so paid big money to see a play. And this way we can do it, and it actually reduced the cost somewhat, so it makes it affordable to these families and to these group homes to get these guys out, and they get to taste some life, and it's amazing how they deliver. You think they're not capable, but Matthew continues to surprise me, and he is truly a gift and a reminder of how precious life can be. never mind family. So it's a great night. It's a great night. I just wanted to tell you that, and I wanted to also make sure I mentioned Tony Dunopoli is on 43rd there. You want to feed a family, it's family style. I fed six people, a bottle of wine and everything for under $300. So, and the food is unbelievable. So those kind of – and the fact that they go out of their way to help families and make things easier for us instead of making things difficult. There are so many things in life that are so difficult with autism that when people do that little extra, it makes life so much better. So thank you. All right, we're going to cover the 10 most common problems with a house. Now, these are debatable, but they're basically common. These are put together by home inspectors, and we're going to cover them all, and we'll cover them one at a time, but I want to go through them. First, it's improper surface grading and drainage. Now, you've all heard me talk about water, and we'll talk about water. Quite a few of these items on this list are water-related. Improper electrical wiring is another one. Roof damage is a third. Heating system is a fourth. Overall maintenance is a fifth, which is bigger than you think. And then structural-related problems, finishing up with plumbing on number seven, exteriors number eight, poor ventilation, which I would think is a little higher than that, but it's nine, and then the miscellaneous, which covers everything from crooked walkways to bad windows. So we're going to start with that. Let's talk about the improper surface and grading. It's March right now. Another month, it'll be spring ball, opening day of baseball, and we'll start looking outside. And a lot of people will be ordering mulch and want to make their beds look good. We'll be looking to plant their mums and plant their early spring things. I think the mums plant in the spring, or they plant in the fall. I don't know. I'm not a flower person, but one of the things you got to look at is how much mulch do you have in your beds? How much are they built up? If the mulch is approaching your siding, you have too much. You have to rake it out. You have to take out the old stuff and before you get the new stuff. Too often I get to a house and they've got a mulch delivery and they just keep putting it on top and on top and on top. And what it does is it builds up and you end up with like 4 or 5 feet out, you end up with a high spot that pitches back towards the house. Let me tell you what that does is the water comes down off the roof and from everywhere else and it hits the high spot and it rolls back towards your foundation. And you could be on a slab or you can be in a basement. It still creates problems. The water gets underneath the slab and it creates moisture in the house, raises the moisture content, can cause all kinds of problems. It also, moisture is the number one reason why you get insects and you get mold and you get rotting wood. Also, when the mulch gets up high and it becomes covers the foundation, it gets near the siding. Now you have a highway for ants, termites, stink bugs, anything else that crawls is going to have a real easy access underneath your siding and into the house. Once they get into that soft wood, even with vinyl siding, that there's a starter strip there that's soft wood. It's pine. If it gets wet and it gets damp, and then the carpet ants love it. The termites love it. Even the mice will find their way in it easier. So you do want to keep that 8 to 10 inches of concrete around your house. If you go around your house and you look at the base, the siding should end, and then you should have about 8, 10 inches of concrete. And usually it's covered with parchment. And then a lot of people mentioned that there's cracks. The parchment is a cover coat on the brick or the mortar. I mean, on the cinder block that makes up your walls or your foundation. It is cosmetic in a sense, but it does serve a purpose. It sheds water. And if you have cracks in it, you want to seal them. If you've ever seen the power of ice, water gets into those cracks and then it will freeze and it will split and it will knock the parging off or open up cracks and possibly water penetration into the basement. So you want to maintain that. But be careful because sometimes a hairline crack, you can put so much fix on it that it looks worse than it did with the hairline crack. And aesthetics are important. Curb appeal is important. You don't want to draw attention to all these cracks. You want to make sure that they are handled in the correct way. But the basic thing is just surface grading. The perfect house is, it sits proud on its property, about 3 to 4 feet higher than the rest of the property around it, so the water will drain away from it. Unfortunately, most houses, or a lot of houses, can't do that. They have hills. The backyard may slope towards the house. The front yard may slope towards the front house. So what you have to establish there is you still want to have that 5-foot mound, but then it may go to a swale that runs water around. When you have that proud house that sits high in the surrounding area, it's very easy. My house sits very high on the property, so it's very easy for me to put a 4-foot leader on a gutter, extend it out 4 feet, and then once the water comes down the gutter and extends out 4 feet, it's running away from the house. It's not running back towards the foundation. Sure enough, if it's enough water, it's going to soak the ground, and you can have groundwater come from underneath. But think about your roof. It's a big rain collector, and it's going to collect a lot of rain, a lot of water, and it's going to dump down those spouts. And some of them collect on two or three gutters and dump on one corner. If you have a sloping problem, you may have to install a dry well. A dry well is they'll come dig a hole, and they can either put a tank in it, or they can just fill a hole full of 3-inch rock, and they run the pipe there, and the water will run off the roof into this underground, and it will seep into the ground slowly, similar to what a septic system does. But that way it runs the water away. You can also run it into a tank and use that tank for irrigation if you so choose. It can get very expensive, don't get me wrong. But I do a lot of houses that have that system, but I don't know where they terminate. If you do that, make sure you do a map. When you go to sell your house, if you can produce a map of where that dry well is and where that line runs, it will set the inspector at ease and it will send the buyers at ease that they know where the downspout runs to. Sometimes the downspout runs right out the front into the curb, or sometimes it runs out back into a gully or away from the house down a hill. The idea is to get the water away from the house. But, again, water, you hear me say water, 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 because in the crawl spaces in the basement, water penetration is the number one problem and the number one concern. And it can be difficult to solve. It can also cause large problems with the foundation. I mean, water pressure is amazing what it can do. And it also it brings mold, it brings insects, as I said, and it brings all the things that we don't want in the house. So you want to manage that water around the house as best you can. That going out saying, you got to look at the driveway. Sometimes the driveway pitches towards the door. If that happens, you're going to have water running down that garage, and it's going to end up in your garage or against your door. It's going to cause water rot along the bottom. That's why, you know, where wood touches the ground, it does rot. I did a deck the other day, it had 6x6s, and one of the posts was eaten completely through by water. The water had just rotted it off, and the post wasn't supporting anything. Ideally, I love to see them on sonotubes. I don't know if you know what a sonotube is, but it's a tube they put in the ground, they fill with concrete. Love to see it 6 to 8 inches above the ground, tapered, and the top would be tapered so the water runs off it. And then the wood on top of that. That wood would probably last for years up there because it has a chance to dry out and no water will pool against it and rot it. Because even the best water-treated wood, water-prevented treating, is going to rot if it's soaking wet all the time. Again, I said it before, it's also an invitation. Carpenter ants love wet wood, so do termites. So keep that in mind when you're doing that. Fence posts, you know, they notoriously rot off at ground level for that reason. There was a reason for that because the cost of putting them in on pylons or something like that is probably exceeds the cost of the fence. So there are some things that are worth doing that way. And I would think a deck post is worth spending the extra money and have it put on the right concrete pylon, not just buried in the ground. Number two is interesting. It's electrical, improper electrical wiring. 20% of them chose this as the number one item, so, too. So, and it's usually because somebody's played electrician. If you don't know, you know what you're doing electrical, get some help or get some training or ask an electrician, because there is a reason why an electrician goes to school for 7 years to get their journeyman, to get their ticket, to get their license. It is also a reason why most home inspectors will not give electrical advice, because they're not licensed, unless you're a licensed electrician. But I hate to be before a judge and the judge says, Larry, you told this guy how to fix this, and I'm going to say, yeah, and he's going to say, do you have a license for electricity? And I'm going to say, no, and he's going to say, what are you doing to give away electrical advice if you're not a licensed electrician? Sort of like giving tax advice when you're not a tax guy. The situations become more of a problem, and house fires, most house fires are electrical in nature. Some of them can be prevented. Some of them you will never be able to prevent them because you might not even know why they started. But, overloading a circuit, not grounding the circuit correctly, we talked about it one day about the circuit runs in a certain direction and you want to create that. Also, generators, guys, I can't emphasize enough. If you get a generator, you got a standby generator and you want it wired in with a transfer switch or into the panel, get an electrician to come and do it right and get the permit. When you go to sell the house without the permit on record and without the electrician certification, it's going to be difficult because many people do it wrong, and you want to make sure that you set it up right. You do not want to be pushing electricity from your generator out into the street, so be careful. The same thing with solar panels. Be careful to understand what you're looking at. If you're buying a house with solar panels, your best bet is to hire an electrician to review it or to give you an education on it once you're in, and to understand how it works and how to disconnect it. Because you'll see on most solar panel installations, there are stickers on the electric box that warn you that there's a solar system in place and that sometimes shutting off the electricity doesn't remove the charge from the box because it may be coming from the roof. And it's a solar system and it's usually less power than what's coming from the street, it will still knock you on your butt and probably kill you. So you got to be careful to know what you're doing. Number three area, roof damage. And this is one of my biggest problems because it's hard to judge a roof. Sometimes I look at a roof and I say, oh, it looks brand new. And then I find out the roof is 15 years old. A good roof can last a long time. It can last 20, 30 years, some even longer. It's a number of factors, positioning in the sun, steepness. Steepness is good because it did the runoff and the snow runoff, maintenance, damage from trees, algae. You've all seen the stuff that grows on the roof when you don't get enough sun. It actually grows. It may be harmless. It may be ugly, but the thing is it's not harmless to a degree because it has to eat something, and what it's eating is your asphalt. Most shingles today are fiberglass and base, and it won't eat that, but it will eat the asphalt on the shingles and the granulars. And removing it's not the easiest thing in the world, because if you do it wrong, you're going to end up with a roof that's spotted and ugly, and your wife will make you fix it or get a new roof. There are companies around there. There's a company called Roof Shampoo, I know, and some power washing companies. But you also got to make sure you get a company that knows what they're doing. We've all seen the roofs that somebody got up there with a power washer, didn't know what they're doing, and it looks like somebody scribbled all over the roof. It has to be done at the right angle, the right pressure, and with the right chemicals. Because I'll tell you the truth, I bought a thing on the internet, and it was a chemical that you mix with a pot into a garden sprayer, and I sprayed it on the roof, let it sit. And I did take a plastic sprayer on some of the heavy spots that I slowly just peeled off, and then I sprayed them. And about 3 weeks later, all of it dried up, and it washed off with the rain. And it's been good ever since. So I will have to do it again someday because it's in the air and that. But roof damage is the common area. Sometimes you have a tree limb that hits the roof and it wasn't fixed correctly. Sometimes the wind just catches a tab and pulls it off. And if it's not fixed, it doesn't go away. Just because you don't see water leaking doesn't mean there's not a problem. The other areas, common areas on the roof, are where penetration points are. You have boots over top of your the pipes that stick out of your roof are plumbing stacks. The pipes that stick out that you see, there's usually a 2-inch and a 4-inch or a 3-inch. Those are your stacks that connect to your plumbing system. They're what allows the water to drain out of your house into either your septic or into the city sewer system. You can imagine if your house was like a straw and you had your thumb on top of it, everything you flush down the toilet or put down the drains wouldn't leave the house. It would stay in the house. It couldn't get out. The water would just stay in the house, and it would back up, and the house would smell and everything else. So that's why those vents are in your roof. That's like taking your thumb off the end of the straw. The water will flush out, and it will go down into either the septic or into the city sewer. It's also why sometimes Roto-Rooter will get on your roof, and they'll put the auger into the roof drain because it's a lot easier to run it down through there into the drain and out to the street to clear out any clogs or any root damage that may have grown in. But roof damage is a big thing. And these items I'm bringing up to you guys, by the way, are important because when you're looking at a house, I want you to look at these 10 things and make make your own inspection before you put your offer in, because how much you pay for that house, how much money you have in the bank afterwards, and I'm not saying it's bad because I've said it before. I bought my house, but I did $100,000 worth of work once I bought it. It needed a new roof. It needed new windows. It needed siding, needed three bathrooms, and it needed a kitchen. And within 3 years, I did all that at work, and I did a lot of it myself with the help of my father-in-law, and I did hire out some of it. But, I mean, you got to know that when you're looking at the house. Don't make the offer thinking everything's perfect, and then I come in and find all this stuff, and then now all of a sudden you're looking at $30,000 more than the house, and you're already stretched buying the house. So if you do this yourself and make the decision, you might save yourself a bad decision, because if you make the decision, you pay for the appraiser, you pay for the inspector, you pay for the lawyer, and then all this stuff comes out, and then you're not ready for that, and you can't buy it, or you don't want to buy it at that point. Now you spend all that money and you're still looking for a house. So I'd much rather do a house and confirm what you already know and just explain what systems are and things are good. And trust me, as a home inspector, I like nothing better than have a house that is perfect. I haven't found one yet, but I love a house that the closer it is to perfect, the better. And remember, a good home inspector shouldn't be judging the house pass-fail. They should be telling you the condition of the house. Because even a brand new house has condition, and some of it will be very good, and some of it may be questionable, and some of it you just got to watch. I'll give you an example. A brand new house, the foundation, I can tell you, it looks great, but the house hasn't settled yet. It's in the ground 6 months. You know, make it through a couple winters and then tell me if it's settled properly and if the cracks opened up that were minor, or did they open up and they're major. The front walk hasn't settled yet. Has it created a trip? And has it? I've got a front walk and I put a new sidewalk in it 4 years ago and the tree's growing again, and now I got a 4-inch clip and now it's a tripping hazard. So I'm either going to break up the sidewalk again and pour another slab after I trim the tree, or, you know, I got to do something because it's a trip hazard. If somebody trips on it, I'll find myself on the other end of a lawsuit. All right. So the roof is big, but look at it, get the age of it, look at the description in the disclosure, see how old it is, and then look at the ceilings in the second floor and see if you see any water damage. You see stains, it's a telltale sign that they might have had them, or they're still having them, and you'll go from there. Now let the home inspector get up in the attic and crawl through and try to see if he sees anything leaking in the attic. Heating systems is a big one. And this comes up because most people don't know much about their heating system. Forced hot air is the number one system out there. Baseboard hot water is another one. Older houses have steam heat. And some have electric. Electric's the easiest in a sense that you have electric baseboard heaters in every room and you have a thermostat in every room and you just turn it on in that room and it sets it at that temperature. Forced hot air is your number one system because it comes with air conditioning typically. It's the same ductwork will run air conditioning. But the best overall system, they tell me, is baseboard hot water, which is a boiler which circulates hot water around the house, and you can have multiple zones. I had a house the other day that had 7 zones. So they had 7 thermostats in the house, and they could maintain temperature in all those 7 zones. And then they had an air conditioner in the attic that had ductwork coming from the ceiling. So hot air rises coming from the floor around the house, and cold air sinks, so it comes from the ceiling. Heating ducts and heating baseboard hot water should be underneath the windows because you want the warm air to come up and put a barrier to that cold air coming through the chimney, through the windows. But also measuring these things are difficult because a boiler can last 30, 40 years. It can last 10, 15 years. There are many variations of a boiler. There are some great ones out there and some not so great ones. And a home inspection can only do so much. They can't be perfect with it. So whatever heating system you have, get an idea of how old it is and plan on replacing it if it's too old. But I don't pass-fail an old heater. If it's making heat and it's doing it well, then it's fine. Along with the heating system is the AC system. And this time of year, I can't test them. The rules say under 65 degrees, you're not going to turn that compressor on. The other thing is if you turn it on and you produce cold air out of it, it really doesn't tell you whether the air conditioner is working because it's 65 degrees out. But you want to make sure that refrigerant is working in that. There's a couple things you can do. You can get a homeowner's warranty. You can put money in escrow till it's springtime. Or I tell a lot of people, I say, listen, it looks like it's in good shape, but if a $3,000 to $4,000 air conditioner is going to be your deciding point whether you want the house or not, then maybe you got to reconsider that. But it's very difficult in the wintertime to test the air conditioner. We can look at it for condition. If I see water stains and I know it's leaking, then I'll go to cause for an HVAC inspection or a heat inspection. The biggest problem in a heating system is a break in the burn chamber, which allows, you know, poisonous gases to get from the flame into your air system in the house, and carbon monoxide problems, which if the heating system isn't running correctly, it could be producing carbon monoxide. So the heating system is an area where you're looking at age. And I tell people, look at the age and don't discount it because the age, but then plan on if the thing is 20, 30 years old, if you have a problem with it, more than likely it might be cheaper to replace it because you're going to see an effective efficiency. I put a new oil burner in 3 or 4 years ago, and I saw a 25% reduction, not in my cost because the oil prices vary, but I saw a 25% reduction in total gallons usage. Okay, we're about halfway through, but I'm going to stop here, run a couple commercials, and then I'll be back. So see you in a bit.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer family-to-family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back. Let's get moving because I got a few things to cover here. But poor overall maintenance, and this is interesting because, like, I was at a house the other day and it was had beautiful Anderson windows, but, you know, sometimes you get condensation on windows if you keep the heat up too high or you got a lot of moisture in the house. You're not managing the moisture out of the bathrooms. And they hadn't cleaned the windows, and there was literally rot along the bottom of this beautiful Anderson window. But yet I go into another bedroom, and it was, you know, nice. The window looked brand new, and that's because somebody in that room was wiping it down, and they had put a coat of paint on it, and it looked good. So you got to maintain it. If you own the house, you got to take care of it because it's an investment. And it may take you an hour or a week to do some of this stuff, but you got to exercise your windows. You got to move them. You got to wipe them down. You also find out that's where the stink bugs are hiding in the windowsills, so you might want to get rid of those before they start coming out in the spring. So overall maintenance such as crack, dirty painting, crumbling masonry, they have to be fixed as they go. Otherwise, and if you're going to sell the house, start doing it now because don't wait till people find it because as they find it, they're going to say cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. You know, as well as broken appliances. Structurally rated problems are number 6. Structural problems usually come, sometimes it comes because of just changing, drying wood, sometimes poor construction methods. I had one the other day where the deck was built and it was attached to the house incorrectly. Now, it was overconnected in a sense. It was a ton of nails and everything else, and it probably would never go anywhere, but I still have to call it out for non-standard structure, and it should be reviewed by a structural contractor or engineer because it's not done correctly. If it's not done correctly, you're going to get that, and then now the buyer is going to be – you're going to be spending $500, $600, $700 for a structural engineer to look at it or a contractor that knows how to build decks and stuff like that. So you got to look at that. Also, if you've done work in the house, you got to be careful. I mean, I've had plumbers cut right through joists and not resupport them. And then you have a jacuzzi tub above that. So, I mean, it may not be a problem today, but it's going to be called out because can't wait till there are problems to call them out. You have to actually look at them and look at today's standards. Sometimes it's against today's standards, not that it's wrong, because when it was built 30 years ago, it might have been the standard then. But a home inspector is going to call it out and say it doesn't meet today's standards and you may want to consider having it looked at or fixed. Doesn't mean you have to, but it means that you got to know about it. I'll give you an example. The deck, the balusters are 6 inches apart. Okay, it's still safe. It's still sturdy. It's fixed. But today's standards is 4 inches. It would never pass an inspection today at 6 inches. And what I tell people is you might want to consider either putting up a netting that sometimes you do, or you have to keep an extra eye when you have little kids over or small dogs because they have a habit of falling through those. Those are some of the examples. But regular structural-related problems are rare, but it's number 6. But it's big because it can be very expensive. A structural problem in a foundation wall, you're talking thousands initially. A cracked foundation that's got pressure from outside, you're either you're putting a truss up inside. They call it a buttress, or you're putting carbon strapping, or you're digging outside and relieving pressure. It can get very expensive very quick. What you want to look for there is large cracks, cracks that run multiple floors, cracks that are jagged in nature and not symmetric, and cracks that have changed recently. So those are some of the things. Plumbing. Plumbing still raises one of the number one issues because it ranks high because plumbing is one of the most used systems in the house. Everybody turns the water off and on several hundred times a day. Drain pipes leak. People pack things underneath the sink that hit the elbows. I know my sink, underneath the kitchen sink. It was hit and it was leaking for a little while. Didn't notice it, but then when I noticed it, it was, you know, I had to replace the cost me $11 in PVC piping just to replace it and put a nice new pipe in and make the seal nice and tight. They do get old by themselves, guys. The gaskets will dry out, so you got to check that. So plumbing ranks number one, and people don't want to replace faucets, and they're expensive. Or they put cheap ones in that cost more money because you end up replacing them more than once. But piping can be expensive too. Incompatible piping materials, also incorrect. You put a hot water heater and you run PEX to the top of a hot water heater. Most installations require 18 inches of metal pipe coming off the hot water heater, then you can convert to PEX. Also, PEX has to be done correctly. So if you don't know what you're looking at, do some research. Ask some questions. There are some plumbing things out there that are no longer, we don't have a problem in the Northeast with, like, say, PBX, which is a great type of pipe that some people used at one point. But you won't find too much of that out there today. But it is still out there, so understand we do find it once in a while. Exteriors. Exteriors is number eight. Exteriors are flaws in the windows, doors, wall surfaces, usually it's holes in siding. Damage to gutters, leaders that are falling off, caulking that may be dried up and split. You got caulking around a window that's dried up and split. You just can't caulk over it typically. Typically, you might have to remove the old caulking and update it. You want to make sure that it's in use a caulk that's proper for the application. You want something usually that remains flexible, that can be painted or is the color that you need it to be. And something that you may have to hire somebody to do because depending on the size of the windows and where they're at, and even old windows that have, glazing in it. The glazing dries out after a while, and it has to be fixed or patched or replaced. So those are some of the things. Around the front doors, you guys got to manage the water. Where we see rot the first place is around the door front jams, usually around the front door or the back door. You can go down near the bottom, and if I can put the awl right through the wall, guess what? That wood is rotted, and the only replacement is either replace the whole door frame or you have to have it spliced in. And splicing in is not the easiest thing in the world. There's also sometimes you can epoxy it and seal it in. Sometimes you can encase it in aluminum if you do aluminum trim and a vinyl siding. Exteriors have a lot of other issues. Many houses have exterior siding that may be made of asbestos. Not a problem if it's not friable, and we talked about this before. Friable means it's in the air and you're breathing it. But one of the things is encapsulation. You can put it underneath vinyl siding, and it's a great fire break, and it's no longer that. But if you decide to cut a window in or build an extension, you can open up that wall. You have to be aware that asbestos is there and that you may have to take certain precautions. And I would advise anybody that finds asbestos or asbestos-like material, get the right people to check in on it. Poor ventilation. This is one we're going to spend some time on, and is poor ventilation. And it's one of the things that we see today's effort to overseal a house. And you might think that's funny, but when you shut the front door and you can feel the pressure in your ears, that's probably telling you that the house has a good seal. But at the same time, that can keep moisture in the house. Remember, your kitchen generates moisture. Anything boiling generates moisture. All your bathrooms generate moisture. People generate moisture, and if they find a way into some areas where it can't be ventilated and can't be escaped, you can have issues. Moisture in the attic is most problemsome. In the basement, it's a problem because it can grow mold unseen, and there's nothing to check. I mean, if you have mold in your bathroom, you usually see it, and you can clean it, and you can stay up on it. One of the things I see in older houses is bathroom vents that either empty into the attic and are not vented outside. That's the way it used to be. So don't assume it's wrong because your vent is in the attic. That's the way they used to build them. Today they won't allow that, and you really want to vent it, make sure that vent gets outside. And there are certain ways to do it too. You can't tie them together because you can blow one right back into the other. You also want to make sure you get a fan in the bathroom that has enough CFM, which is the cubic feet per minute of air that it moves. You also probably want to look at a timer on that fan because when you leave the bathroom after you take a shower, you want to hit the button. Mine runs for 15 minutes afterwards. So it keeps drawing air out of that bathroom for 15 minutes, drawing that hot, moist air out and pushes it outside instead of into my attic. And so you want to do that. Even if you have a window, I would tell you to consider putting in a fan. A window if you have a window, you don't need a fan by code. But here's an example where code is the minimal standard, and I'm telling you that if you have a foot above that window and you take showers, and in my house the one shower gets 3 or 4 showers a day, that's a lot of steam to sit in that room. And also, the moisture will find its way up into your attic. You have vents into your attic that you don't even know about. Every penetration through the ceiling, where the lights are, where your fan boxes are, even where that hatches in your closet or the staircase in the hallway, it creates a negative pressure in your attic, and your attic will actually pull the moisture, warm air out of the house and into the attic. And if it's not ventilated out of the attic correctly, then you'll have a moisture problem up there. Now, if the attic's ventilated correctly, it can even handle some of that. It will actually take that air and push it out through the ridge vent or the gable vent. And today's standard is you want to see soffit vents, which means when you're in the attic, you want to see light from coming from the edges of the roof. Some people think that cold air coming up there, they plug it. They plug it with insulation. That's the wrong thing to do, people. Let the air come up the soffits. They travel along the roof, and it exits out the ridge vent. Sometimes you can have a fan to help it. Sometimes you have gable vents. But your attic, if you go into your attic, and I love the attic this time of year because it's nice and cold. It's 50 degrees today. In the summertime, it can be 150 degrees in the attic. The attic should be hot, and it should be cold. It shouldn't be room temperature. And you shouldn't put insulation on the rafters unless you're going to climatize that attic. And what I mean by that is, you know, some people will insulate the roof, but then they're not putting air conditioning or heating into the attic. You don't insulate the roof. You insulate the ceiling above the living space. And the number one thing that I see that's wrong in the attic is they put the vapor barrier facing the wrong way. They do this in crawl spaces and basements, and they do it in the attic. The foil or the vapor barrier has to face the warm side of the house, and it should be in contact with that side. It shouldn't be facing up. You can't add it in between layers, because if you add it in between layers, it traps moisture. And wherever you trap moisture, you will have mold eventually. If you don't have mold, you'll still have rot, and you'll still have smell, and you have moisture. So you got to be careful. Insulation is not as easy as just throwing it up there with the, you know, if you have an extra roll, just don't throw it up there and put the vapor barrier. Also, in crawl spaces, it looks real nice when you put it up and the shiny aluminum foil is shining down, but that's the wrong way. The aluminum should face up towards the heated part of the house, and you should see the pink fillowy stuff or the yellow stuff that's fiberglass. And you have to hold that up with something. Usually it's an insulation holder, either little steel rods that are spring-loaded or like a plastic mesh. So those are the 10 basic things, guys. We're going to run a couple commercials, then we'll be back, and then we'll finish up. Thanks.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, I'm back. Just to wrap things up a little bit, we talked about 10 areas, but basically I want you to walk around the house, and this weekend was going to be a nice one. You want to walk around, take notes. I suggest you write them down because if you're like me, you think you're going to get to them, and then you never do. But walk around, look at what the winter's done to your house. Is there loose pieces of aluminum on the fascia that needs to be fixed? Are there tabs on the shingles that might have moved in the winter? How's the chimney look? How's the chimney cap look? One time I found my chimney cap in the backyard. It had bounced off a gutter and put a hole in the gutter. So, I mean, it's interesting how things can happen, especially in these severe winds areas. But it's important to note that all 10 categories, at least 4 of them had effects caused by water. And you've heard me before, water is your number one thing. So after a home is built, presumably the structure is sound in a manner, you want to keep water out is your number one important thing. It's keeping water out, keeping it managed, manage it around the property. Remember to rake out your mulch before you get your new delivery, because if you get your new delivery, you're not going to do it because it looks so beautiful. But if the old stuff is there and it's high 5 feet out than it is against the house, or it's too close to the siding, the new mulch is going right on top of it. Don't count on the guy that delivered it to rake it out. He's not going to. So those are the things like that you need to do beforehand. You're going to spend $300-$400 on mulch. You want to make sure you're not creating more of a problem. It'll look good, but then you're going to create more of a problem that's going to cost you 10 times as much later. Also, let's talk about understand that the statistics relating to electrical and plumbing problems in roofing, they vary greatly upon the regional climates. I'm talking about the Northeast here mostly, so that's my audience. But if you're in a different category or you're a different part of the country, it does vary quite differently. The roofs are different in Arizona than they are in New Jersey. Roofs in New Jersey have to go through so much difference from 90-degree heat in the summertime to, 2 degrees in the wintertime. So understand it's different. And also building codes are different from town to town and from state to state. The universal building code should be the guiding point, but there are some towns that enforce different portions of it. Remember, home inspectors are not code officials. I tell people code is the minimal standard to build a house. I do a safety inspection, which I like to think the safety inspection is at a higher level than code. Again, for instance, I will call for GFCIs should be in the kitchen. If the house was built 25 years ago, you probably don't have GFCI outlets in the kitchen. But if you have them today, it's an easy fix, and it's a worthwhile upgrade. Also, the age of the home plays a significant role. I did a house this week that was 215 years old, had powder post beetle damage, had a damp cellar, and I say cellar, not a basement, because it had a dirt floor with stacked stone foundation. It's not going anywhere, guys. It's going to be there for another 100 years, but there's going to be moisture in that basement, and there's probably not much you're going to do about it. If you really want it to be dry, then you have to get some professional help on how to seal it, how to manage the water, and it may require some significant investment. So that it depends. If you bought that old house that's got some age to it and is built well, then there's some complications. And remember, no matter what you discover, if you start doing it, prepare to discover more. And sometimes, like I'll tell you, for instance, you're going to fix a sink and you open up the sink and you find out you have galvanized pipe. You may want to take that time to replace the galvanized pipe with PVC down to the basement and then connect it to the old pipe, because now it's one less thing you'll have to worry about in the future, because nobody wants to spend a couple $1,000 redoing a bathroom and then find out that the pipe in the wall gave way. So those are things. And also, the survey results, the first three items are ranked so high. So it's sort of like the old 80-20, that 20% of your problems, 80% of your problems are the first 20 related to electrical, plumbing, and moisture. Those are the things you want to look at. But when you look at a house, guys, look at what's been done. Look who did it. Some guys, home guys, are very good at what they're doing, and some are not. I can tell a lot by when I open that electrical box and I can see the wiring inside that box. I can tell a lot about the house and the owner just by seeing who's been in that box and what they've done. Because when it was built, I can tell you it should look the same way when it was built, but not always the case. And some things have been changed, and just because a tradesman doesn't mean he did a great job. Sometimes finding the right guy and the right price is just as important. But trust your professionals, too. There are licensed plumbers and there are licensed electricians. That's different than a contractor. We've been through this before, I think. A contractor that does home, he just needs to register with the state. There's no schooling. There's no qualifications. There's no testing. Yet a person who is an electrician or a plumber should be licensed, and that means he passed a test. He did his apprenticeship, and he's knowledgeable, and he should be able to handle most areas. But I would still ask the questions. I mean, you have an aluminum wiring problem in your house. If you hire an electrician, ask him if he's familiar with aluminum wiring, because just like doctors, I mean, you wouldn't want to hire a doctor that specializes in gallbladder surgery to do eye surgery. So you want to make sure that you get the right guy for the right job when you do that. And if you're like me and you like to do it yourself, YouTube's a great out there. But I suggest you watch more than one video, because some of the stuff out there is not so right. Take a little gander at it. And if you're still not sure, then seek the professionals. Well, that's my show today. I mean, it went fast. I could have talked a little bit more about some of these issues. But most home inspectors don't care whether you look at it. But I'd rather have you come to me and say, these are the three areas that I looked at that I was concerned about. And then let me do my job. And let me get in there and look at things that, for instance, I've looked at 35 houses in the month of February. That's one a day, at least one a day, maybe two in some days. And that includes Saturdays and Sundays, guys. So, I mean, I've looked at a lot of houses, and there's not a lot of things that are different, but there are some things. They do vary by age and construction technique and method of construction, and also who's been living in it and who's taking care of it. So look at the house and make that decision before you put that offer in. And the more you know, the better. And sometimes take dad with you, because sometimes dad will have a better eye, and listen to him. You know, you don't have to always do what he says, but listen to what he says, because he's usually, if they're a homeowner, they know some of the things that you may not know. So with that, I'm going to wrap up tonight. You're going to see Jeannie next week, Jeannie Murphy from Weikert. I'll be back in 2 weeks, and look for the announcement on Facebook, and I'll put out what we're going to have. I'm hoping to have a guest, and we'll talk about, I think, more about real estate, but we'll see. So, hey, enjoy the week. The weekend is coming up, and it looks beautiful, and we'll go from there. So with that, this is Larry McEntee. You can reach me at 973-547-7748. Or my email is lmcentee, lmcentee, at hometeam.com. And the website is www.hometeam.com. Put in your zip code, and it'll come up with me in Northwest New Jersey. Even if you have a question, guys, call me. I don't mind answering questions. If I can get to the phone, I will. If not, you'll get a voicemail. But during the day, you should get Jennifer, and say hello to Jennifer for me. She answers my phone during the day, and we'll go from there. Otherwise, it rings through to my cell after hours, and I do answer the phone. So, enjoy your day, guys, and have a great weekend. Thanks.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is suspending his campaign after a disappointing Super Tuesday. Republican Senator from Florida Marco Rubio on what candidates that had less than stellar Tuesday nights need to be thinking.
People don't want to vote for someone that they think is not going to win. They don't want to vote for someone that they think doesn't have a chance to win. And so you can see the bottom fall out pretty quickly.
Rubio speaking there on Fox News. Now Bloomberg did endorse former Vice President Joe Biden. With Bloomberg dropping out of the race, that means four candidates are left. President Trump plans to visit tornado-ravaged Tennessee on Friday. The president tweeted that the United States stands with the people of Tennessee 100% and whatever they need. He says the deadly tornadoes were of record size and velocity. At least 24 people died from the twisters Wednesday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea.